He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Thursday afternoon. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you all here at Fashion Furniture. That's right. We're here on these Thursdays, as we always are, live at 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Fashion Furniture, of course, coming up close on that Black Friday clearance event, which continues here at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's. Fashion is hundreds of items up to 70% off. That's right, 70% off. Plus 100 dining room sets discounted for immediate delivery. Sleep Retreat and said Fashion Furniture has closeout mattresses at 50% off and foundations at 50% off. Adjustable bases starting at $299 and free if you buy a Beautyrest black mattress. Plus up to 24 months of free financing. The Black Friday clearance event here at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's, the nothing like it in the state of California. Here live for 2 hours of our show. Excited to bring the sports talk to you. Should be a fun one today. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D showed Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays on 1430 ESPN. You can listen to the ESPN Fresno app and on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website. You can also catch his show on demand there and my show, Behind the Bench, from 3 to 6 p.m. on weekdays, and also Paul Metter's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, which is live from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays on 1430. We're also streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch on the ESPN Fresno platforms. Be sure to tune in over there if you want the video portion of our show. As you see, we are here ready to roll for a couple of hours today. To reach our show, if you want to get in on the conversation, it is the Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline is 559-321-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to get on air. Lee's Air Weather Check, checking in on what the weather is like today. 54 degrees, it's been raining all day. Could be letting up here in the next couple of hours, though, and will be cloudy the rest of the evening and cool. Looking at temperatures tomorrow, partly cloudy as it clears up by the mid-afternoon, late afternoon. Looking at 58 degrees as a high for your Friday night lights for some of the teams that are still alive in those playoffs. And then Saturday, it'll be 60 degrees and sunny all day. Should be fantastic weather as the Bulldogs will get set to take on Utah State Saturday, and that is going to be a monumental football game, to say the least, when it comes to it. So that is what we got for you there. Looking forward to it, and it's going to be an interesting couple of days in terms of sports and how everything kind of turns about. But we are here, like I said, live on this afternoon. Good to be here. We have Me and Ed's Pizza. Pizza courtesy of Me and Ed's. If you want to have some pizza, come listen to some sports talk. That's what we're doing here now. Good to be here. Like I said, what do we got on the show? Well, normally we do have our Student Athlete of the Week interview. Unfortunately, we had a scheduling conflict pop up at the last minute here, and we could not get our Student Athlete of the Week on for this week, which we do have them selected, and we were actually selected. Asterisk Tally, the golfer, the stud golfer from Chowchilla, was our Student Athlete of the Week. She won SoCal Regional Championship, placed top 20 in the state yesterday at Poppy Hills, and just an overall, you know her story, fantastic golfer from the region who I believe she's committed to go to Stanford to golf in a couple of years. So she's just a junior, fantastic athlete from Chowchilla. It was about time to kind of appreciate what she's done here in this central section. And so the hope is we get Asterisk on at some point soon to talk about her season and talk about her career in the world of golf. Played Junior Masters. I mean, to play the Masters, that's got to be something, right? So that was fantastic. We'll talk high school football. We'll talk about last night's basketball game, which was really fun at San Joaquin Memorial. Talk some Fresno State as well. Just a lot of different things to touch on today as we get through the show. 2 hours, it's going to fly by. Bills and Texans coming up tonight. That's where we'll take you to Houston for Thursday night football between the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. Kind of a game both teams would like to have, I think. I think both teams would certainly like to have that one. See what Josh Allen could do on Thursday night football. I'll first say hello to our producer who's back in the studio, producer Jorge, who is there on this Thursday working hard as he always does. Jorge, you've been busy with the hours, but we're glad to have you once again on the show. How are you doing on this Thursday, Jorge?
Hey there, Phil. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Glad to be here. Glad to be here with you and, you know, in the show. And I'm trying to have some fun here today.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about, of course. We got a lot of things to dive into. And, of course, also joining me today, we got half of the winning producer pair. Daniel's here. Daniel, how are you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm kind of getting annoyed with my laptop right now. It just keeps boot looping and says it's updating, but I don't know.
You know, at that point, I just take out the battery and just hope it fixes itself or something like that. But then maybe that's why my computer didn't last all of college.
Oh, maybe.
In terms of it, right? Jorge knows one or two things about computers and booting up and all that stuff. So we've become experts in the field, even though we have not gone to school for it, right, Jorge?
Yeah, it's a learning, you know, trial by fire kind of thing. You don't really know what to do, but you know what to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just gotta make it work. Gotta make it work.
Minoring in IT at this point.
Dale, I was actually a little concerned for you today because I thought I wasn't going to see you today. You were sharing some lunch with one of our coworkers on Tuesday. She ended up going down the last couple of days with food poisoning, and you seem to be fine. So I guess the chili fries are fine where they had. I'm not going to name the location, but I'm glad you're surviving here today.
I had some of the burger, too. So.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe you have a stronger stomach, stronger gut.
Probably.
To withstand it. Well, hopefully our coworker recovers soon. You know, sometimes it's just luck of the draw, Jorge, right? Sometimes you get some bad food, you get some good food, and sometimes you just have the wrong bite. So
yeah.
I know what it was.
Sometimes it's not even something you ate. It's like something that you've been carrying or something, you know, something that's in the air.
Something that's in the air. Well, you know, what was in the air last night was a lot of great memories in terms of San Joaquin Memorial playing basketball last night. We got a chance to do a little bit of an early high school hoops broadcast. Jorge, we were talking about it. I don't know if we've ever done a high school hoops broadcast and a Friday Night Lights broadcast on the same week, but we did it, or we're going to do it with tomorrow's broadcast. But I had a lot of fun last night calling that game, and we had a lot of fun, Paul Matters and I, getting a chance to watch the Jalen Green jersey ceremony. Joe's working on a video right now that we're looking to put out on our social media accounts right now with that video of the whole night and some of the interview as well. But, Jorge, before we discuss the night, I want people to revisit that interview from last night, and I think I have the clip for you there. You have the clip ready to roll, loaded up. From last night, hearing what Jalen Green had to say before the game, we got a chance to sit down with him for a few minutes before the game and talk about his memories of San Joaquin Memorial. Or you got that clip queued up for us here?
Not quite yet. Hold on. Give me a second.
Okay. All right. He's working on it. But regardless, last night was a beautiful night. JV game. By the way, the JV game was was really exhilarating. A lot of when Jalen Green walked in and about 2 minutes left in that JV game, then you started getting some energy. Some of the JV players were starting to try to dunk the ball in front of the guys. It was starting to get a little crazy. They say, but I mean, Daniel, if you're playing in front of one of the stud athletes from the Central Valley, you'd want to show off a couple of moves here or there, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Especially if it's an NBA, a current NBA player, I'd want to show off anything I can.
Seeing we get noticed, I know Suns execs were there. A lot of the Suns players. One particular, I know, I remember there, Cam Malawach, who's the rookie, their top draft pick from a year ago, was there. Colin Gillespie, I think, is a name people remember. If you think of the Villanova days, he's the sharpshooter. He's about a 10-point average per game kind of guy there as well. So a couple of notable Suns players there with Jalen Green walking in, and the whole crowd lit up. I was sitting in front of some students from the student section, and I could just hear him just yelling, Jalen, 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 Jalen. And he actually turned and acknowledged them and looked at them. He was the belle of the ball for sure last night. But it was totally a thrill for a lot of those kids last night to experience that. They had the JV game wrap up at around 6:30. They had a whole ceremony where Jalen Green had two jerseys, one for him to keep and one for them to hang up once they get a chance to do that in the gym. I think it was a really awesome night. Brad Reznosky talking about some great stories last night. One in particular talking about how him and his coaches always were taking Jalen to Taco Bell after practice because Jalen wanted some Taco Bell. And he basically said, Jalen, at this point, how much are we taking you to Taco Bell? I think you owe us about $1,000 per right now. I think you're good for it, right? So,
I had the opportunity to meet him a couple years ago. I was in a GB3. It was me and my friend.
Yeah.
And just out of nowhere, because he's a bigger basketball nerd than me. And he goes out of nowhere, he's like, is that Jalen Green? And we both look over and we're like, oh my God, that is him.
Yeah.
And so we went over to him, obviously, because who wouldn't? And we kind of just we asked him what he was doing here. And we took a picture with him. It was awesome.
You have that picture? I'm curious.
I wish I did. Yeah. It was on my old phone and my old phone got
you wiped. You lost the picture,
I think my friend has it, but I had to ask him for it.
Okay, you had to text
him. We're ready if you want to go with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jalen Green, very personable guy, very, very easy to talk to, and we had a chance to talk with him for a couple minutes. So, Jorge, let's play that interview from last night, revisit it. Here's Jalen Green with us on the broadcast.
So, Jalen, fresh off of the ceremony of having his jersey retired. Here he is, Phil.
Jalen, great to have you on the air, and congratulations. Sir. What an honor, right?
Amazing.
Get the jersey retired.
It's a real moment.
Tell me the memories flooding back to you as you walk into this gym and think about all the ball you played over the years.
Man,
here.
This gym holds a lot of memories, a lot of buckets, a lot of hustle, grind, motivation. So just coming back in here means the world to me, seeing my old teammates. My old coaches, it's just, I feel the love right now. It feels good.
Absolutely.
So when you walked into the gym that time, I was right in front of you guys. You brought Phoenix Suns and a lot of people.
Yeah.
What sort of memories flooded your mind right away when you walked in and saw all the people in here?
Just all the friendships that I made here. The friendships that are still going on to this day. Just the hard work, the grind. You know, everything that I put into basketball, it really all started here in Fresno and SAM, so I'm just happy to be back.
Tell me a little bit about the Central Valley Pride, just from the basketball standpoint. It seems like this area is growing, and how much pride you have in representing the Central Valley when you go through your NBA journey?
A lot of pride representing the Valley, especially it's just because, I feel like we're looked over, and, any kid, whatever you are focused on, whatever you're trying to accomplish, you could chase that dream. It's possible. You could do it being here. It's not just a crab in a barrel. You can work hard. You can put your mind to it. You can achieve it. So
Roz was saying you get your choice of where you're putting the jersey up. You want to point to exactly where it's going. Where'd you choose?
I got two spots right now.
Right.
So I got right there, or I might put over the student section. Because we had the student section lit when I was here. So
I like that spot right there, right? Front and center, right?
Yeah,
walk it in, see it right there.
Yeah,
I like
that
it.
That might be a good spot right there, though.
All right.
Well, certainly. Jalen, it's great to have you here, and I hope you enjoy the game. This team's going to be pretty good this year, too.
That's
so.
What I heard. That's what I heard.
Yeah, they got some guys as well.
I'm excited to watch the game. My team here, they're about to watch a little bit of it, too. And yeah, I'm happy this was able to get done tonight.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck the rest of the season for you. Be sure to heal up, and
yes,
hope
Thank
rehab
you.
Goes well for you. And enjoy the game tonight, Jalen. Appreciate you taking some time for us.
You got some autographs to sign, too,
Absolutely.
It looks like.
He certainly was signing a lot of autographs. I'll tell you what, the mob of people around us after that interview wrapped up, he got up from the table, and there was a lot of kids there, a lot of different memorabilia, a lot of kids wanted to get a picture with him. And I'll tell you what, we were sitting, if you know kind of how the setup was at Memorial, we were sitting in the corner, like at a table, right, sitting down, so we're a little lower. And you just have this, he's sitting there on the end with us, Paul's in between me and him, and I'm on the end behind this table. And in front of us, I can't see anything on the court. They're warming up on the court, and all I see is just an arch of people in front of me with all these different cameras, all these different phones out in front. I've never seen that kind of response before. I couldn't see anything in front of me except for, you know, it's just faces and phones in front of me.
Yeah, that's gotta be a surreal moment. I mean, I feel like it's always good when a Valley legend comes back and actually, like, is proud of where he's came from and whatnot.
Yeah, it was a great night, and the great insight from Jalen there. I really like, you know, it's interesting how much he still there's an edge to Central Valley guys, I still think, in sports, not just in basketball, but all over. You know, when you think of a Central Valley athlete, yeah, there is a grit and a grind and an underdog mentality when it comes to being coming from here. I hear it all the time from, you know, even the Carr brothers or anybody who makes it pro, who says they've come here from the Central Valley, born that way, and wanting to excel. You feel a little overlooked. Josh Allen is by far the most overlooked guy, and he's playing tonight in terms of it. But, you know, it's great to hear that kind of passion from an athlete like that who still has that fire in him. You know, he said that in the interview. Jorge, I think that was my favorite thing from the interview last night, is that Jalen plays with that fire where he's like, yeah, I got to represent the Central Valley. We're underdogs still. And people still don't really look at us in a certain way that, you know, kids from L.A. get looked at, or kids from other locations in the country that are maybe hotbed talent people. But there's a certain underdog nature, blue-collar nature to the Central Valley athlete when it comes to those guys.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you think about it, like, Fresno doesn't have the name of, you know, the biggest stars that come out. Yeah, we had a few of them in the NFL, and maybe Paul George come out of Fresno State. But, you know, if you think about it, like, nothing that big out there. And you know, this kid's, you know, just trying to get their work out there and trying to make a name for themselves and, you know, name for their city.
Certainly. And speaking of kids that were making a name for themselves last night, of course, they wanted to get off to a good start. And San Joaquin Memorial played that game last night. And Bakersfield, I'll tell you what, Bakersfield will sneak up on you with their athleticism last night. I think there's a couple of guys I was paying attention to. I thought I really liked the way they played. Got a kid named Cade Johnson out there. Remember calling his name last night. I don't know what his totals were, but he looked to have been a very good athletic piece to this team. And I know they still got another guy coming from their football team that's going to be highly athletic. But they Bakersfield High certainly has a couple of things still left to do, including winning a game against Redwood next week. But regardless, outside of that, it's a team that Memorial does have in a lot of depth in their starting lineup side of things, in their ability to score in many different ways, the different ball handlers that can bring up the court. I think I counted all five starters have the ability to bring up the ball to the front court and work the offense through them. Sajan Sidhu last night was the leading scorer, 25 and 5, but he could argue he wasn't playing the most complete game he had. He had a couple mistakes in that one, but I know Coach Raza believes in him. Parker Spees, just another one of those games, one of those players that you know his capability, his talent. He had a couple of rim-rattling dunks, alley-oops last night, 23 and 12 last night for him as a stud player for San Joaquin Memorial. There's another Olin Rowaju, and he is athletic as well. Julius's younger brother, Dominic, who I think he is ready to make a name for himself in terms of what his capabilities are. He had 12 points last night for Memorial. And even a night like Ty Schalk having a game, you know, getting active inside as a point guard, 5 boards from him, 4 assists, 8 points total. He had 2 quick early fouls, but his defensive presence, just keep in mind and stay in mind with this game, even despite maybe the fouls working against him, he was smart enough to stay out of the foul trouble the rest of the game, despite the 2 early ones, and Coach Roz trusting him to be able to make things happen despite what his issues were early. This team is ready to rock in terms of a basketball season where I think they are certainly a contender here in the Central Section. They will play the number one team in the Central Section this year in St. Joe's. It's just going to be interesting to see how it all shapes up for that. They are ranked 21st in the state of California, San Joaquin Memorial is, and I can see why. And if this is what game one will look like, a 23-point victory over a Bakersfield team that I didn't think was too lacking in talent and athleticism, then I think this Memorial team has a real shot to be playing and selling at the end of the year. But we'll see. It's November, and selling is in February, end of February. We got a long ways to go before the basketball season even has a say in what will happen. All right. Great night from Jalen Green's part of it. Great night for San Joaquin Memorial. Wanted to just highlight that here at the top of the show. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to just run through the high school playoffs for the first time. We got a slate of games tomorrow. I'm going to run through them myself. Of course, we're going to do it tomorrow as well, but I want to give a shot at looking at the games independently, talk about some of the big things from tomorrow night that I'm looking forward to. So stay with us. Behind the Bench, just getting started here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Wake up, well I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Lot to talk about from this weekend. It's Thursday, right? And so Thursday we get in the mindset of looking ahead. Friday is our last little cleanup show before we say goodbye for the weekend. But I wanted to look ahead now. We haven't had a chance to acknowledge what we have in the playoffs in football, in high school football, lately. So I want to spend a little time talking about these games and what is the big thing coming out of each of them here. We'll spend more time on others, of course, as we you know, continue to navigate. I'd love to say, you know, there's going to be an interesting, maybe there's some interesting upsets throughout, but we'll see how it all plays out. But first, of course, we got our game on Friday. I don't want to overcook this game a little bit because I know we're going to think about it more dynamically tomorrow in our show with me, Paul. I know Tim Beer is going to be in there tomorrow, so it'll be an interesting dynamic talking about it. And of course we have the broadcast at 7 p.m. which you can listen to on 1430 ESPN with myself and Paul Metters. Central East is a team that has you know, it's the starts of these games that have dictated how much these teams have kind of scored on them at the beginning of these games. You know, Buchanan dropped 30 on them, Clovis East dropped a 20 plus on them as well. Central East's power is that they can just continue to roll the offense after the game stays closed for a while. They are have an ability to hit a second gear and pull away in some of these games. However, if you think back to the game against Clovis, Clovis is a team that had a slow start in the game last time they played. A touchdown given up and then a pick six given up as well. A 3-and-out, another touchdown, 21-0 before you can blink, and then from that side of things, it was all Central East from there, despite what the score says at that point. It's the start of this game, I think, that really will dictate what happens with this football game moving forward. It is dynamic offense versus dynamic offense. Can the defenses be dynamic as well in the way they play. I think there is dynamic, good defensive players on both sides. It's just a matter of, in high school football, you need as a unit in defense to play wholeheartedly well. And on the offensive side, the units can maybe be outshined by a few players as well. No offense to what football looks like. It's just kind of how it goes. But, you know, Clovis's defense has ramped it up the last couple of weeks, especially in the tight spaces, tight areas of these football games. Clovis West just totally got manhandled last week in terms of this their game plan, in terms of the where, you know, the pressure came from. The corners were playing well. They were staying tight on the defenders. And as 48-7 goes, that's what Clovis was, just a big, complete performance from them. It's going to take another dynamic performance from, I think, a plus offense that they're going to face, Central East. And whether Clovis can be the team that dictates the pace of this game and be the team that scores ahead and keeps staying ahead in this football game, they play better when they do that. And Central East is a team I'm curious to see how they respond in a game like that. You know, Brandon Smith is and this crew, last time they won a Central Section Championship, which was last year, they jumped out to the pace early and beat a prolific offense like Clovis East and never relinquished their control of the football game. And I think that's what Coach Biggs is talking about, I'm sure, with his team, of you cannot make mistakes early. You have to be clean right at the jump, and it allows you to afford yourself opportunities where you can then make it up from the back end if you do make a few mistakes. But making mistakes at the beginning of a football game can cause a whole lot of different issues for both of these teams. So first couple drives are going to matter. And I will guarantee you these drives are going to maybe be 2 or 3 minutes in length of how quickly these teams can move the pace down. I am fascinated on what James Caruso can do. You know, what, 5 touchdowns in a losing effort against Central East? What can he do when maybe he is trying to run 4-minute offense for this team and maybe run out the clock a little bit more, and maybe Clovis wants to play a little more keep away on the offensive side? Get in the rhythm, though. Is Cyrus Mendez going to be more of a guy that's going to dictate things in the middle of the field? Can Deegan Rose, who's been leaning on him a couple of games in a row now, feel like there's an outlet tight end that he can go to that's going to make a lot of sense for his offense? Deegan's been really leaning on that. Is Central East going to key in on that and say, okay, maybe we take away the tight end outlet a little bit and maybe we find a different way for Deegan to attack our defense and try to maybe rely more on the big playability Carlos Young and see if we can beat him one-on-one with our corners? It's a fascinating chess match of where this could go between both of these teams, and that's a lot of things I'm thinking about this football game tomorrow. It's a fascinating matchup, just as fascinating as last year was with Clovis East and Central. Central East now and Clovis matching up in this game. This time Central East is the team that's favored to win, I would bet. Can they handle that ability to get the job done? They've been fantastic this year, but the championship game is a different animal, per se. Start of football games, Daniel. That's what matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dictating the pace. Do you always feel like when a team takes a lead in a football game, then everything else changes as the football game goes? Things get a little tighter. I've noticed it all the time. Leads matter when you're playing good teams. And sometimes it just takes that kind of pace of a game to change everything.
Definitely. I feel like any sport, I feel like it always matters to just get the lead early. Because for that, I feel like it just sets the pace of how you're going to play the entire game. Or just like it gets your opponent into their heads, basically.
Yeah. Jorge, same thing for you. Leads matter early, right? In football games. Like when it comes to, you've watched plenty of football games in your life. I guarantee you the team that scores first, it always seems to be the team that is eventually on the winning end, right? Very few often you see the team that scores second be the team that ends up winning. I don't know if you have an actual statistic and any measurable comp, but I always feel like the team that scores first is the one that's on its way to winning football games more often.
Definitely. I mean, if you think about it, Fresno State against Colorado State. Colorado State scored, you know, right away and it scored consecutively without Fresno State putting in any points at all. And when Fresno State tried to make a comeback, it was too late. Their lead was too large, and they couldn't continue the comeback. And it just that was one of the worst losses they had all year. I could see the same thing happen with the Niners when they played. I think it was Tampa Bay, or was it LA? I think it was. Well, one of them, but sometimes you can't come back from a lead. There are times where, you work ahead and you get there, but when the lead is too large, you just can't come back from that.
Well, there's a psychology to playing from behind too. Even if it's like 4 points, there is a psychology of we got to make this play. We got to get back in it. We got to respond. We got to do all this. And instead of just stay within yourself, play the offense and trust yourself. There's a hard thing to ask yourself to do is to stay level-headed knowing you're down. Even if it's like 14-10, you're down. And you feel the pressure no matter what because you know you have to respond. And sometimes offenses wilt in that pressure, and other times the great ones show up. And I find that fascinating in the game of football. Daniel, you have the statistic you looked up. What do you got here?
Yeah, it says NFL teams that score first win approximately 63-66% of the time.
Yeah, I would agree with that in terms of it. I would agree that that is a good pace to have in terms of that, even if it's winning the coin toss. That's why I think the people who automatically defer in coin toss, I always kind of poo-poo the idea a little bit. I'm like, nah, you want to dictate pace.
Yeah.
You want to dictate how this game goes. I don't care about the wraparound score potentially. Mm-hmm. If you have a good enough team, you're confident that you can make things happen. If you have a good enough offense, you're confident that you can play from ahead in these football games. So I like that idea. Let's go quickly through some of the other games here. It is Liberty versus Bakersfield Christian in the one single A championship. That is the other championship of the night tomorrow. No, we got two more. Sorry, two more championships real quick before we then get to the semifinals. Liberty, scoring at a rapid pace right now, averaging 42 points per game. Of the last two games, they beat Memorial, they beat Hanford. Hanford just kind of getting overwhelmed in that game, unfortunately. And Liberty of Bakersfield sitting here as a 3 seed, potentially a win away from a championship. Bakersfield Christian's been the top team throughout this level here for the last couple of weeks, last year, basically, undefeated. My one big thing for this game is Liberty's offense ready to face this top-tier defense in Bakersfield Christian? Will they have the success they've had? And are they ready to see a different speed when it comes to that defensive side? And I would lean Bakersfield Christian side in terms of the way that game will go and them completing the perfect season. I've seen Liberty once this year against Buchanan, and they really struggled in that game. Didn't really have a good feel for them afterwards in terms of that. They have a big playability, some speedsters on there, and so maybe the speed can be something they lean on, a little more misdirection, a little more change of pace when it comes to their offense. But I would say it's a uphill sledding for them in terms of getting a victory tomorrow. Going to D2, boy, this is going to be fun. Rio Grande, Tulare Union tomorrow night at Tulare Union, the Tribe battling as they cruise to a victory over Kingsburg. That's not an easy team to score 56 on, I'll tell you what. But that offense is back and ready to roll and showing why they are a team that it's a team that beat St. Joe's earlier this year and a team that has been capable of winning some good games from their standpoint. But Union, a 1 seed in this D2 bracket, taking on Arroyo Grande, who also beat St. Joe's this year. And so these are two teams that can break down some good defenses on the flip side. Arroyo Grande scored 104 points in two games of playoffs this year. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
That is an astounding stat when it comes to that.
Were they playing bad defenses?
Sunnyside, Sunnyside, kind of a down year for them. They got to the 13th seed, but and then they beat Garces. I thought Garces is a decent team. 42-29 shootout with them. And I'd say – it's a matter of push and pull on who can dictate how these offenses want to play. Union, can they hurry it up, speed it up, or is Orlando Grande able to grind it out, run those big plays, and make things happen in their offense? It's going to be fascinating. Redwood and Bakersfield's on the other flip side of this, and we talked about Bakersfield's toughness. Recall Pat Hill, us on the broadcast of that Bakersfield High versus Bullard High game earlier this year. Bakersfield with a really, really dynamic running back, as it's just a sophomore for him. By the way, he was the missing guy from their basketball team last night, and I just wonder what kind of athlete he is going to be when he gets to a possible next level. Redwood's tough, stingy defense. Redwood, I would say, and I'd argue, I'll go on a limb here, the only team right now that hasn't given up a point yet in this playoffs. They've only played one game. They beat San Luis Obispo 54-0. And the Rangers are a team that can get this upset here. I think these are two teams that look themselves in the mirror and say, we are kind of the same team here. Bruising, pounding defense. Just can't make mistakes in terms of turning the ball over. Bakersfield a little loose with the football sometimes from what I've seen. Either way, this is going to be an awesome potential D2 final, which I'm paying attention to on where we could be heading with this matchup. Whether it's Bakersfield versus Union, Arroyo Grande versus Bakersfield, Redwood versus Arroyo Grande, Redwood versus Union, all these matchups potential in D2 could lead to an awesome game next week. Switching to D3 real quick. we were talking about upset alert. We were talking about Arroyo or Washington Union beating Shafter. That's the 8th seed. They're one of the lowest seeds to advance right now in any of the playoffs at this moment. They got Kennedy with the nice win over Golden West. Kennedy had been a dangerous team. They beat Hanford. Remember that? Union and Kennedy, going to be a fascinating game. Kennedy, one of those rare teams that get the chance to play at home, then play on the road, and now they're back at home for a playoff game because things worked out that way. Excuse me. I look for Union to have some good dynamic players in this game step up for them. It's a good offense from that flip side. But to me, Kennedy has been a dangerous team all year with their ability to really showcase that triple option kind of offense. They're a, you know, deceiving kind of ability to make teams miss out on where they're going to look in terms of, keeping the eyes honest in terms of their defense. So Union's got to be real tight in that if they want to have a hope of winning. Kennedy scored 63 in their opening game, 34 in their last. So a lot of points Kennedy can score in a quick amount of time. Wasco Independence on the other side. Kerman, just a heartbreak loss to Wasco last week. Shout out to them. But it's going to be an interesting other side of the bracket. But fascinating to see. Kennedy could host if Independence ends up winning over Wasco. Wasco, a decent team down there in D3 near the Bakersfield area. In D4, the matchup I target is that McLean and Emmanuel game. Both teams rolling in their quarterfinal game, and now we got a clash of two really interesting dynamic teams. Emmanuel, very tough, physical on the line. And McLean, very tough too, but they have some dynamic players on the outside. Their quarterback is a fascinating prospect when it comes to that. I think he's only a sophomore. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. I think he's got 44 touchdowns, no picks on the year. Vernon Lacey is the name. Please, please, people, this is a name you need to know in terms of quarterback play.
He was one of our student athletes of the week.
He was one of our student athletes of the week. Let me see if I can pull up a stat line right now from the McLean side. How about 48 touchdowns, no picks from Vernon Lacey this year? 2,700 yards passing. That's tough.
That is – oh, my.
But the question with McLean, which still they have not done, is when a game gets tight, and it's a 7-point game in the third quarter or fourth quarter, what is this team going to do to respond in game situations where they haven't really necessarily faced it? You know, they have rolled through everyone they played this year. The schedule has not been, I would say, the toughest. And this Emmanuel game could certainly feel like the toughest matchup yet for them. And it's going to be fascinating to see how they respond in a game like this. Emmanuel's been in some tough games as well. It's going to be fascinating to see what these two teams react to. And, well, you know, Emmanuel with a tight win over at Avenel earlier this year, 14-0 all things considered. But they have also really run through their schedule as well. So who blinks in a game where you're not quite used to the last-minute kind of tight ball game situation? That's going to be the interesting dynamic of that one. Winner will get either Templeton or North. North, if they win, of course, then it's game at McLean or Emmanuel next week if Templeton gets the upset there. Templeton beat Coalinga last week. A little touch on one last couple of matchups. Liberty of Madera, Bishop Union. Liberty Madera's got a fantastic running back. Ethan Dunn is a guy I've been wanting to see and wanting to pay attention to. Could be a possible championship game if they host beating Bishop Union, if they can beat Bishop Union, who just sneaked past Cabrillo last week, 22-19. So Liberty's a team, you know, got off to a slow start against Morro Bay, but then it was able to pull away. The game was actually a little bit further apart than 41-27 was given, but Liberty is ready to see if they can punch their ticket to a championship matchup in D5. Woodlake and Chowchilla round out the other side, and Woodlake is a team, that dynamic quarterback. I don't know if you were here for that student athlete of the week. Tanvir interviewed him. Aldo Rodriguez.
Yeah, I was
from there. From Woodlake. This team is one that can certainly move the football as well. So we could be in a potential great clash in D5 championship. Minera,
a lot of good young quarterbacks. A
lot of good ones. Good young kids who are – I think they certainly have a chance to play at the local level here, next level, and see where they can kind of go from it. Minarets and Boron in D6, Orosi and Miramonte in D6 as well. I look for Orosi and Minarets to advance in those. And, of course, the last championship, that's the other one tomorrow. That's 8-man Fresno Christian. That offense, you want to see some numbers? Look up Fresno Christian's offense, who's scored 74, 42 points in their last two. It's 8-man football, so give it a little bit of a grain of salt. But Fresno Christian's got some crazy numbers out there for and they got Emmanuel Christian on
I didn't know
Friday.
8-man football even existed.
It's here. It happens. It's a wild little fever dream of some football. So, all right. So there is the football outlook for tomorrow. Paul is going to break it down with his perspective. We'll have him on the show tomorrow at 4 o'clock, so be sure to tune in there. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the hour next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Let's do a little injury report brought to you by Davison Van Wagenen. Go visit my friends at Davison Van Wagenen Injury Law Firm today for all your personal injury needs. If you don't win, you don't pay from Davison Van Wagenen there, so be sure to stop by. The big injury news, I think, of the NFL week is Joe Burrow. Potentially now he's working with the ones on offense, and he looks to be lining up to be the quarterback on Sunday against the New England Patriots. Little surprising, as reports initially stated, he was potentially coming back Thanksgiving against the Baltimore Ravens, but now we have a potential return with the Patriots. The question is this the right move for the Bengals to get a guy going here at, 3-7 now? Is that where they're at?
Yep.
it is a run-the-table situation for the Bengals. And you wonder and compare this to the toe injuries of Brock Purdy versus Joe Burrow. And, of course, I don't know if it's completely comparable to those situations, but Brock is also playing quarterback now, and we'll see what he looks like on Monday night. But what do you make of Joe Burrow maybe back a week early taking on the Patriots?
I think either way it was going to be a difficult call because they're going against two. Obviously, Patriots are the best team in the AFC right now. And then the Ravens, you know, they're still hungry to get back to their winning ways.
Yeah.
So I feel like either way it was going to be difficult whether you want to start him this week or next week. But I feel like it's better to start him this week. So at least even if they do lose, he's getting back into his rhythm so that when they face a division opponent next week, he's ready to go fully.
Yeah, it was kind of that ramp up we were deciding and talking about, like Brock, right? And like, well, you need a little warm up in some form or fashion with some players you're going to play. Like Brock needed to play against the Cardinals, then ramp up against the Panthers, then to ramp up against a defense, a legit defense in the Browns.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, you know, the Patriots pass offense, a defense isn't great. The run defense is fantastic. Ravens defense isn't great. So it's two defenses that I would say are vulnerable, not like the easiest defenses to go against. But, you know, the Bengals just can't shut down Joe Burrow for the rest of the year. They got to throw something out there in terms of it. No Ja'Marr Chase in this game because of the suspension. But it's going to be a fascinating dynamic to see how gingerly Joe Burrow runs around, what kind of mobility. Patriots are going to try to push him around as best they can. That offensive line isn't necessarily the greatest line out there as well. So
yeah.
It's interesting how that's going to work out and where it'll go. But I found that the most fascinating injury news from the week. And once again, the injury report brought to you by Davis and Van Wagenen. All right. What we got coming up next? We got some football talk for you. Of course, Fresno State, some more conversation around that game. Benatti Blitz, we're doing it today. Yeah, that's right. Picking the games this week. And Daily Spread as well, looking at Bills Texans. Stay with us, hour number two, coming up next on 1430.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN for the Valley's local sports leader here on this Thursday afternoon, live from Fashion Furniture. One more hour before we send it off to Thursday night football between the Bills and the Texans, live from Houston on 1430. The Black Friday clearance event here continuing at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's. That's right, Fashion has hundreds of items of up to 70%, plus 100 dining room sets discounted for immediate delivery. Sleep Retreat inside Fashion Furniture has closeout mattresses at 50% off and foundations at 50% off. Adjustable bases starting at $299 and free if you buy a Beautyrest black mattress today, plus up to 24 months free financing. The Black Friday clearance event here at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's on El Paso. Nothing like it in all of California. All right, hour number two rolling along here. Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Let's talk some more Fresno State. I just wrote my preview out for the Parkport side of things, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting one. I don't want to spoil it. I know Jackson Moore puts that article together. I did make a scores prediction. I did pick my player to watch in this game in terms of it. I saw you over here crunching some numbers here, Daniel, and I couldn't help but notice like what you were trying to do there. And you're pointing it out. You were trying to go through all of the you were going through some sort of website trying to go through the permutation of how Fresno State can win the Mountain West or get to the Mountain West.
Mine was to make the playoffs.
To make the playoff?
Yes.
Is there is a simulator out there?
Yeah. So it's just called College Football Playoff Predictor.
Okay.
It's from Pro Football Network.
How do we get that?
So
we have a path?
According to this, not really. What we would need is the American to blow up, basically.
Like, okay.
According to this, we need all three of the top American teams to basically blow it up these last 2 weeks for us to have that shot. And obviously with us, we'd have to, with what our scenarios are, we'd have to win out and whatnot and win the conference championship.
Yeah, certainly.
To get that 12 spot. But from what I've seen, it seems like the American is most likely to get that spot.
Okay. I don't even know how to like dynamically go through this. I'm wondering where are we at? We have week 15. Is that where we're on now?
We're at 13.
We're at week 13, Is it going through scores already or anything like that that needs to be predicted? Okay, now we have the Mountain West in terms of it. Does score matter? It looks like score matters in this.
You just pick the team, and it'll like do a hypothetical score.
Hypothetical score. Got it. Okay. All right. I may have to play around with this. This looks fascinating to me in terms of it.
I do this at school whenever I get bored and I don't want to do my work.
You know, they used to have the playoff machine back in the day at ESPN, but that was just the NFL schedule. Jorge, you ever do these predictors on computers? You just pick games and not pay attention to class like we did in college?
not really, unless it was like March Madness, you know. I think March Madness was the only time I would really get into the like doing predictions, because to be honest, all the other seasons, they have like they're long enough that I could see what's coming up or who gets into what and what. So, you know, March Madness is the only one that's like a real tournament where you got to think, okay, this is going this and this is going this other way, but is it or not, you know? So right. I think that one takes a little bit more calculation than the rest.
Certainly. I'm seeing how this is going. Conference championships, Fresno is in there. Well, what is the American championship? We need Navy to lose, or does it ECU to lose, or
because it'll automate all the other ones you're not predicting.
Okay.
So you would probably need ECU to win because ECU isn't.
Yeah. The best. I guess I got to like go through it all here to make sure I get it all right.
Yeah. So there's a lot more than
just making it happen in terms of that. Sure, I'll do that, and I'll pick Southern Miss. Okay, so I got ECU in the playoffs, so now I have to, like, go back and retroactively pick ECU to lose a game?
Yeah.
Somewhere?
So you'd have to go to, like, week 13 and 14.
I need to reverse engineer ECU out of the playoff.
But even then, I think Navy would then get it.
Okay, well, I have to reverse engineer Navy to do that. All right.
You basically got to blow up the American.
I got to blow up the American. That doesn't sound right.
the American conference. You got to say conference at the end. You can't just leave it like that. All right.
In terms of that, how did I get?
We're gonna get some calls in like the mail and stuff, right? So make sure you call the conference, the American conference.
FBI.
They gotta destroy each other on there, and so that
the American Conference of Football has to destroy each other out there in terms of that. I got Jacksonville State now in this. What am I doing? All right. JMU winning it?
Like, it basically wants anybody but us in, from what I've seen. But I think I've gotten it one time where we've been in.
Where is Jacksonville State? Why are they in? Kennesaw State. Get out of here. Why is the Sun Belt better than us?
They're hating on the Mountain West.
What the heck?
I'm sure if you pick San Diego, they'll be there.
Yeah, well, San Diego's got a better record than us, right? So that's kind of why they beat us, you know. They beat Fresno State in terms of that. All right, am I screwing this up anymore? Can I get this all? Kennesaw got to lose. How is Kennesaw having a great season?
I barely noticed that the other day. Like, I knew them as the worst team in the college football game last year.
I don't know. I think this thing's broken.
Yeah.
It's
a bit wonky sometimes.
It can get a bit wonky. Oh, there we go. I got one in.
Oh.
I did it. Somehow, some way, I found a way. All right. Fresno State's in as the 11th seed. We're going to go play Georgia. How about that? Jorge, you want to play Georgia?
Bulldog versus
Bulldog. No, I'd rather stay home.
Forfeit?
I'd rather go to the Arizona Bowl. The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
The Snoop Dogg? You just want chills with Snoop Doggy G?
I'd rather go to the Potato Bowl.
Snoop Doggy Dog? All right. I tweeted out the clinching scenarios for the Mountain West last night. I said, what do you think is the most likely? So the Mountain West, and let's be honest with you, this is a clinching scenario. So this isn't – you can look at this, and I was looking at this pouring over more. There is a scenario where Fresno State wins its last two games, San Diego wins out, and Fresno State could get in. But we're talking about cleanest path to – getting in, not just like when it coming down to the tiebreakers and the computers and what will it look like if we're tied with UNLV in a certain situation. These are frankly only situations where you can guarantee yourself clinched in to a championship spot. So that is the distinct difference in these scenarios when it comes to what we have here. So when I say all these things have to happen, that means this will 100% give Fresno State the spot in the Mountain West as opposed to the 90-whatever percent, just in case the computer models hate Fresno State in some form or fashion, which I heard it does in some form or fashion. So Fresno State, of course, we went over it last night, wins. You want to host the championship, Fresno State's got to have a number of things happen. They got to win the final two games. That's a given. They have to have San Diego lose the final two games. I don't know if that's a given. They got San Jose State, New Mexico. Need New Mexico to lose to Air Force. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Air Force is a porous defense in terms of that. They give it like 40 points a game. But we'll see. Craziers happen. And they need UNLV to lose once. And UNLV's final schedule is the Hawaii game and then at Nevada. You do not want to hope that Nevada can beat UNLV at that tail end of the year. You are Hawaii fans, Hawaii fans, Hawaii fans this Friday, tomorrow. For it. So we got to be paying attention to that. I actually might be watching that game a little bit as we roll through our evening in terms of keeping an eye on that one just in case. And all that happens, though. San Diego loses two. Fresno wins two. New Mexico loses to Air Force. UNLV loses once. We're having a game at Bulldog Stadium on December 6th, regardless. How about that?
That would be great.
Wouldn't it be poetic, Jorge? First year in the Mountain West? We host the championship game. Well, okay, sorry.
Mountain West.
Caveat. Second game. First year in the Mountain West, we didn't have a championship game. That was a calamity. It was like a three-way tie.
I did not know that.
It was 2012, and I remember it was a three-way tie for the Mountain West Championship between Fresno State, Boise State, and somebody else, and I cannot remember who. I wonder if that's something. Look up 2012 Mountain West Championship football.
It was Utah.
Was it Utah State that was tied with us? In the three-way tie, I remember it just coming down to a three-way tie.
It was Utah and us and Boise.
It was Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State.
Yeah, that's right. We were co-champions. Fresno State, Boise State, San Diego State were co-champs in 2012. That was the dumbest thing I ever heard of my life. And that really what spurned the Mountain West Championship game. Because conferencers were realizing that championship games just allow you a better opportunity to get more into the national landscape of that kind of conversation. They added the Mountain West Championship, and Fresno State hosted that first Mountain West Championship ever, which they in turn beat Utah State, I believe.
That's who it was, yeah, Utah State, yeah.
Yeah, and I was there, and it was 34 degrees, I want to believe. It felt like it.
That's when the famous picture of Derek Carr holding the trophy.
Derek Carr and Davante Adams holding the trophy in the blackout uniforms. What was it, 24-7? Was that the final?
Tim DeRuiter, yeah. Tim DeRuiter. Second year, first year?
His second year. That was the year we lost to San Jose and lost out on a Fiesta Bowl. I was ready to go to Arizona. I was ready to go to a Fiesta Bowl against, God, who would he have played? We have played somebody dumb.
It was someone from the Big 12.
Yeah. Who was it? I'm looking it up. It's K-State.
Oh, my God.
Well, we may have had K-State.
No, no. Whatever. It might have been.
I don't know. We're kind of
Kansas going. State?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. K-State.
No, you said Kent State.
K-State. No, okay. K-State.
Why didn't you say Kansas State?
Because that's what they're called, K-State. They're not Kansas State, are they?
They're Kansas State.
I mean, I know they're game. Kansas State, but what?
I said Derek Carr had 404 yards that game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a dynamic night for him. What other bowls did we have? Orange Bowl? Was that a BCS bowl? Who's playing in the Orange Bowl? Oh, that's right. Northern Illinois was in the Orange Bowl. Those stupid little Huskies. That's right. That's right. I remember being so irritated at them just being a – well, no, never mind. I got it wrong. I have the year wrong here. It was 2014 that would have been the Fiesta or Orange Bowl or anything like that. Clemson beat Ohio State in the Orange Bowl, but I think that was a 2014 playoff, if I'm not mistaken.
That was first year of it, right?
Maybe it was. No, here we go. Fiesta Bowl 2014. Boise beat Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl. That's right. That stupid Boise team beating.
The Mountain West used to have divisions?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
There was the Mountain and the West.
Wow.
Go figure.
Very creative.
Wait, hold on. Let me test myself. Let me see if I can get the divisions real quick. Who are the Mountain and who is in the West? In the Mountain, it was Utah State, Colorado State. It was Boise State. It was Air Force. It was Wyoming.
One more.
And it was I'm missing one. Was it Nevada?
No.
No, it wasn't Nevada, right? It
starts with an N.
Was it New Mexico?
Yeah.
And then the others were UNLV, Hawaii, Fresno State, San Jose State, San Diego State, Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, divisions. Imagine that. That's how 2014. Look up the 2014 season.
Yeah, that's what I'm on right
Look
now.
Look how silly it is, how we got in, how Fresno State got into that Mountain West Championship.
Six and eight.
They were 6-8, yeah.
Oh, six. Okay, extra two losses.
The extra two losses were in the championship game and the bowl game. I actually had a fight with somebody because they were thought, because we lost the championship game, we had no bowl game to go to.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, no, dude, you don't not go to a championship game and not get a bowl. And there we went. We went to
This is the Hawaii Bowl you went
to,
right?
Yeah, this is the Hawaii Bowl I went to against Rice. And all things considered, it was such a blowout against Rice that Rice put in a guy who is, I believe, 4'11 at running back.
I got to look at this now.
You got to look at Rice's roster.
2014
Rice Owls. There is a man who's probably listed at about 4'11 or 4'10, and he played running back, and he did everything against Fresno State in that game.
Who was the coach still there?
DeRuiter.
That was DeRuiter's last season, right?
No, it wasn't his last season. No, God, no. He was still at a couple years of terrible
football.
But
it was his last. Okay, so then that was Derek Carr's last season, right?
That was his last, like, okay season.
2014.
That was Derek Carr's last season.
That was not Derek Carr's last season. No, we had all kinds of different cast of characters. Brandon Kinnett is a name that comes to mind in terms of
yeah,
that,
I remember him.
From the Duke fame in terms of it. I'm trying to think of other Fresno State quarterbacks on that roster.
All these running backs. Oh, here we go.
You got
Jason
him?
Carter.
Jason
four,
Carter?
4'9".
4'9". That's right. They had a 4'9 running back.
Wow.
Putting him in the fourth quarter, and he was running all over us, and we couldn't believe we weren't stopping the guy. What's he do?
4'9", 140 pounds.
I'm telling you, man, that guy was a monster.
Oh, my God. I wonder where this guy's at now.
Jorge, you heard me right? That for the 4'9 running back for Rice, who killed us in the Hawaii Bowl in 2014. I was like, get me off the island if we're doing this. No offense to that guy.
No, yeah, I remember then. It was such
a
bad
Jason
game.
Jason Carter highlights Rice.
It was such a bad game. I remember that it was just horrible. Like, I don't know. It made no sense for us to have gone to that game.
Because
we were bad.
Daniel's pulling up some highlights of Jason Carter.
I gotta watch this.
Former Rice running back. You gotta watch this dude move. Yep.
Oh my God.
Totally losing behind the line there.
He's so small.
There's gotta be clips of him playing against Fresno State. There it is. Yep, this is it. I remember this. Yep.
Jay Carter.
On the rocking number, what, 38? Is that what he's wearing?
I think so.
Yep. 38. The Rice fans are thrilled. It's 30-0. Dude takes a hit. Go back.
Let's go back. There's like two highlights.
Yeah, dude. I remember seeing this guy coming to the game. Who's that? Is that Deron? Not Deron Bland. What was his name? Number 28.
Washington?
Is that Nate?
It starts with a W.
I got the roster in front of me. Charles Washington.
Okay.
Charles Washington coming in and getting the hit. God, those were some times.
Oh, my God. Those gold helmets were low-key clean, though.
The chrome. They were the chrome helmets.
Oh, they were chrome?
Yeah, those are chrome helmets that came out.
They look gold.
I was hit or miss on that. That was a kind of a style. A lot of people were going with chrome back in the day, 10 years ago to this day. Jorge, were you a fan of the chrome football helmets for Fresno State Rock?
Not really, because it was kind of like a distraction in the field, really. I like more, you know, the subtle ones or, like, camouflage ones, but because I remember camouflage and chrome came out almost at the same time.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, this is supposed to be a segment to break down what this game is going to be like for this Bulldog segment.
He is the smallest player in college football history.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow. Look at that. Jorge. I witnessed history as a Bulldog fan. I saw the smallest college football player in the history of college football.
And he was a walk-on.
Of course he was a walk-on.
Four and a half second. 4.5 40-yard. 315 bench press.
This may get me in trouble, but did you ever hear Mike Leach talk about a strategy he had where he would put he would get a little person on their roster and he would throw him like a football over the line for a touchdown? They would hold on to the ball and he would have his somebody throw him over the line on a goal line situation and
be
a touchdown.
About that.
He actually was warned against not doing that from his coaching staff just for the optics of it. But I promise you this is a real Mike Leach story.
Oh my God.
Jorge, have you heard that Mike Leach story?
Yeah, it's I think it's on the documentary that's about him. I think he like NCAA had to like send them like a letter saying, "Hey, you can't do that stuff.
This is not it.
Somebody, he had to get like a letter so they could tell him like, "Hey, you gotta stop it. You can't do this.
Can't consider that." Yeah, no. there's technically not a rule of a player throwing another player around in the field, but I guess not. Anyways, all right, I'm gonna stop.
I think there is a rule.
Like, is there a rule?
You can't toss a player from like. There's a rule that says you can't help your player, you know, and that's considered a help.
Throwing player.
So this guy disappeared after that game. He never played again.
Never played again. You know, good for him. He had his moments.
Yeah.
He had his moments. All right, I want to – let's move on before we get in trouble here. let's take a break. When we come back, we got the Benatti Blitz next here at 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I want to touch on some topics tomorrow a little more in-depth. So I'm clearing it out tomorrow with having the Benatti Blitz today. And so what we're going to do here is pick the games of the week. Outside of Thursday night football tonight, we're going to save that for the last segment of this show, and we're going to pick avoid picking the Panther-Niner game Monday night as well, since we have Monday's show to do that. We'll preview the Niner game, I think, more on Monday, so we'll look more towards the Raider and Rams games on Friday tomorrow, so we'll pay attention to that. But, Jorge, are you ready for the Benatti Blitz Week 12 edition? Are you ready to cue up the music here? Hello. That's right, week 12. A little over halfway there to the playoffs, do or die time. And we start in Chicago. The Bears hosting the Steelers in a matchup between two teams that are, you know, looking to prove themselves a little bit more this season in terms of the playoff positioning. Two teams that I think people are not respecting in per se, but a teams that are looking for respect if they get a win this weekend. The Bears are 3-point favorites at home. Pittsburgh potentially working with a backup quarterback today or Sunday with Mason Rudolph. But Chicago's offense, pretty dynamic for what it's been so far. The Steeler defense hasn't been particularly strong this season in terms of it. The Bears are looking to prove it in a game like this and are looking to continue their role. But how long is a win streak that can be burst by a team that maybe isn't necessarily as good as its record? I'm going to go Pittsburgh in a win over Chicago on the road. Defying my logic, by the way.
You're right.
Yeah, Daniel, what do you got?
I mean, I think we already know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to do.
I'll just give a little talk. So Bears haven't beat a single team with a winning record yet. I don't think that happens on Sunday. I think the Steelers, granted, you know, like you said, I don't think the Steelers deserve respect right now with the way they've been playing. You know, highest paid defense in the league, and, you know, for it to be as inconsistent as it is, it's definitely not respectable in the slightest bit. But even if with the backup with Mason, we still have a chance. Mason's an experienced backup. He knows what it's like to be in these type of positions. So I still give him the Steelers by a touchdown.
Jorge, what do you got?
I would say if the previous owner of the Bears, Aaron Rodgers, plays, they win. You know, if Aaron Rodgers plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they win. However, if not, then it's going to be a more competitive game. And quite frankly, I think the Bears will take it.
All right. I'm going to stand for this segment. I'm getting restless. Next up, Patriots and Bengals in Cincinnati. The Patriots, 8.5-point favorites. Joey B could be back for this Bengals team, but is he able to play defense? I don't think so. That's where they really need more of their help. No Ja'Marr Chase in this one for the Bengals. On that flip side, the Bengals have given up 30 or more points in four straight games. This Patriots offense is one that is dynamic, especially with the deep ball. The Bengals cannot run the football, and this is a defense you cannot run the football against. This is going to be a very tough task for Joe Burrow, even with what he has been as a quarterback. To me, Patriots should roll on the road. They're 5-0 on the road this season. This should continue that win streak. Patriots are going to keep rolling here with a win over Cincy.
So I think if Joe Burrow does not start this week, they do not win at all. There's no chance. But I think if Joe Burrow does start, I think there is a bit more of a chance. But that offense, with limited to basically one receiver because Ja'Marr's out, I think it's going to be a tough task because Joe Burrow can, I guess, granted he's coming from injury, but he's able to, I guess, extend plays more. With that offensive line, he's going to need it. But I just don't know. I don't see them still winning. So give me the Patriots.
All right, I think the Bengals are in a tough position. Joe Burrow's coming back, but it's only for Joe Burrow's sake, you know, so he could feel better about the season. But quite frankly, their season's over. I think facing a Patriots team that's a lot better than them, it's not going to do anything. So I'm going Patriots.
All right, next up, Giants at Lions in Detroit. The Giants coming in at a record of 2-9, I believe, is the record. And the Lions at 6-4. Tough loss in Philly. They cannot really lose many more games here down the stretch. Some dumb games they can't lose in terms of that, because they want to stay in contention for this NFC that has been strangely competitive here. I think they're on the outside looking in, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of the playoff race. 10.5 is the point total difference Lions are favored by. Jackson Dart looks to be back in this game, but not much help for this offense. I don't really believe in the Giants on the road here. They've lost 11 straight. Could be tied for the second longest active streak in the NFL. Only the Browns have a worse road losing streak. I think it continues this week. The Lions will bounce back. They'll find a way to beat this Giants team.
I don't have much to say on this game other than the Giants are sad now. They're not I'm going to continue saying it. They're not fun anymore. So I think the Lions will blow them out, but that's really all I got to say.
Yeah, the Giants are, you know, a team that maybe had some hope at one point, but quite frankly, 2-9, their season is pretty much over. And the Lions are that team that wants to get in the playoffs and need this win. They need this win more than the Giants need a win at all. So I'm going for the Lions.
I saw Cam Scatabo drinking a rain energy drink out of a cleat on the stream. So that's what
he was fighting with some
he was in
wrestlers.
Raw, right?
Yeah, he was some
on
wrestlers.
Monday.
He was getting down with some wrestlers.
Scat, he is a character for sure.
I gotta ask you his question after.
Yeah, I got it. Next up, Vikings and Packers in Green Bay. The Packers 6.5-point favorites against this Vikings team that just cannot score to save their life. But this Packers team cannot score. So what is going to give in this game between two tough defenses in the NFC North right now? The Packers clearly have the better record right now, but I don't know if I'm seeing – I feel like I'm watching kind of the same two teams in the way they struggle. It's about the dynamic playmakers that can be on either side of the ball for me. I do think Green Bay's defense has been a little more plus and can throw a little more things at J.J. McCarthy in this game. It's going to be tight. I think the Vikings cover that 6.5-point spread, but I think Green Bay will end up winning this game by a field goal.
Hey, Phil, you ever heard of 9?
I'm not even going there.
Anyways, yeah, my bias for J.J. McCarthy is always going to be too much just because Michigan alum. But I think this will be a close game no matter what. Both teams are playing poorly. I don't think the Packers are living up to their preseason hype at all. But I think I agree with you. Packers will win by a field goal.
I don't see. I don't think JJ McCarthy is 100%. I think he's struggling still, and I think he's still kind of injured. And going against the Packers team that, you know, like much like the Lions, they need a win. They need a win to make their self feel better and their season feel better. So I'm going Packers.
All right, next up, Seahawks and Titans on a afternoon in Tennessee. 13.5-point favorites for the Seahawks in this game. And I don't see any other difference in terms of this. This is one of the worst offenses in the football in terms of Tennessee against a dynamic defense. This could get ugly quickly. I don't see it going anyway. I'm not spending any more time on it. Sam Darnold, those Seahawks will roll in Tennessee.
JSN record game. Starters out by the third quarter. Seahawks win.
All right. Enough said. Go ahead, Jorge.
Yeah, I don't know if the Titans could, you know, match up against the Seahawks team that's coming off a very tough loss. However, they're probably going to want revenge, so I'm going to Seahawks on this. I think they're going to take it.
Next up, Colts and Chiefs in Kansas City. The Chiefs, a 3.5-point favorite. Boy, what are we watching, Vegas? Come on. This game is certainly going to be potentially disrespectful to this Indianapolis team, who I think has been a dynamic offense, and there's a lot of pieces going with it. And Kansas City's going to have a tough time with what the dynamic run options they have in Indy. I can't wait to start hearing the murmurs in Kansas City when it's 20-14, Kansas City's trailing, and the Colts are driving the football again down the field with about 10 minutes to go. Maybe some blank stare from Pat Mahomes on the sideline of wondering where it went wrong. I don't know how Kansas City matches up well with this team. I think Indy can beat this team in Kansas City. I'm going to go Indianapolis as a winner.
You know, Phil, I think this game has dark magic written all over it. I think somehow, some way, this is going to be a close game. I still feel like Jonathan Taylor is going to get through that Chiefs defensive line, but I have a feeling it'll come down to a late field goal, but I still think I'll give it to the Colts, but I think this game can go anyway.
By the way, Mahomes facing his first 3-game losing streak potentially of his career.
Wow.
Jorge, what do you got?
I'm going Chiefs. I think the Colts are going to find themselves surprised by the Chiefs, who, yeah, they haven't had the best, season so far. But you just can't, it's a good team that you just can't, leave out.
Yeah, we'll see. Next up, it is the Jets. It's at the Ravens. It's in Baltimore. It's a 13.5-point favorite against this Jets team, who is going back to Tyrod Taylor. Hello. Lamar Jackson looks to be ready to go. He was injured a little bit as the practices were going, but he's more active this week. So I don't see much difference in this game. The Jets have been horrible in terms of forcing turnovers. Their defense has just been not dynamic. We saw them on Thursday night last week, and I don't see anything different. This Baltimore team is rolling with the schedule it's got, and it's got another chance to win here, so I'm going Baltimore.
You know, as much as I hate to pick them, I'm picking Baltimore as well. This Jets team has absolutely nothing, and the Ravens are just slowly climbing their way back up, catching to Pittsburgh, so I'll give it Ravens by at least 3 touchdowns.
All right.
All right. You know what?
Jorge.
No, there's no way. I'm going Ravens. The Jets are just, a joke team, but, Ravens.
That's it. All right. Next up, we're going to the afternoon games now. Browns and Raiders in Las Vegas. Raiders, 3.5-point favorite. Surely the Cleveland Browns will find some signs of life in this game, right? But I got to believe there's at least a couple of dynamic players that the Raiders can lean on. You know, it wasn't totally a scoring lapse from this Raider team. They did put up some sort of points after a couple of horrible turnovers. I do worry for the well-being of Geno Smith when he goes up against Myles Garrett in this game. It will be low scoring. But is Shedeur Sanders going to find his first win of his NFL career in this game? This is as good of a chance to do it. But I'm not going to pick him. I'm going to go with the Raiders to win at home.
Do we think Kenny Pickett plays this game? Any chance?
Aiden O'Connell got activated this week, by the way. Heads up.
Honestly, I have no interest in this game whatsoever. I said it Tuesday. I'm calling this the Tank Bowl. This is the game. But if I had to pick someone, I'm probably going to pick the Browns. I think Shadur can do something. I want to see him succeed, so I give it to him by like a field goal.
All right, what do you got, Jorge?
Two teams with the same record. I feel like they're just as bad as each other. They have great players. I think this is going to end up with coaching, and I think Pete Carroll's going to have the edge here, so I'm going with the Raiders.
Next up, Jags at Cardinals in Arizona. The Jaguars, 2.5-point favorites on the road. The Jags with just a laying the hammer kind of win over Los Angeles, the Chargers. And you'd like to believe they continue the momentum this way. And, you know, the Cardinals haven't been horrible on the offensive side of the ball. They've really been able to move it. And if you're not careful, they just got to be converting some touchdowns more, scoring opportunities more in this game. This is two teams that I think are as confusing as teams in this National Football League. But I believe the Jaguars have a little more talent to get over this hump. They can run the ball better on this Cardinals defense. I think there's an edge there. I think the Jags will find a way to win somehow this game. It'll be closer than people think, but give me Jacksonville.
You know, as fun and exciting the Cardinals have been, I think they can still win games. And the only way I see the Jags winning this game is if Asa watches.
He's got him.
So otherwise, I think the Cardinals will put on a great, fun game like they always do, and they'll win by maybe a touchdown.
I have a guarantee he will be watching that game. Jorge, what do you got?
After what I saw last week with the Cardinals, I think the Jaguars are just going to take this. Yeah, they're not the best team, but they're also not the worst team. And the Cardinals just can, you know, how many flags do they have? Like 17, 18?
17 last week against the Niners.
Yeah, unless they fix that, which I don't think they will. Yeah, they're going to have a lot of trouble, so I'm going with Jaguars.
You know, ironically, funny enough, just thinking a conspiracy theory, I think the Jags had like 13 against the Niners. I don't know. I'm just saying. The Niners somehow
get and this is coming from a Patriots fan? Come on. Come on. Get out of here.
Moving on.
Get out of here. Let's go. Let's keep going.
Eagles and Cowboys in Dallas. I like this game. This game's going to be fun. We had a week one matchup earlier this year where the Eagles beat the Cowboys by 4. And Dak Prescott looked as good as he has been throughout this season. Only one blip in that season so far at a 4-5-1 record right now, and it was against the Arizona Cardinals. Eagles 3.5-point favorites at home. Dak Prescott, you've heard the stats, 17-2 at home against NFC East opponents as a Dallas Cowboys since 2017. And those Cowboys love to suck in those fans a little bit closer into believing they can contend. Why not make them 5-5-1 at the end of this week? I think they beat Philly. I think they beat Philly outright. I'm backing the Cowboys in an upset at home.
No, Phil, I like the way you think, but actually there is no but. I think the Cowboys will win this.
Wow.
I think this is going to be a fun game. I think it will be a real close game up to the end. Like, it's two division matchups, two teams that hate each other. I think with the way the first game went this season, it's going to be the exact same.
Come on, think about it. 5-5 Cowboys going up against a 5-6 Chiefs game on Thanksgiving. That's what the NFL wants. Go ahead, Jorge. Come on. Sweep it with the Cowboys.
You guys are crazy. The Eagles are the Eagles are the far better team. I mean, maybe because there's talk about coaching not being good or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's what they get, you know, Cowboys get a little bit more of a hype, but I mean, come on. I didn't give you Cowboys credit last week, but they're a better team than I think they were, but they're not as good as the Eagles. So, yeah, I'm going Eagles.
All right. Falcons and Saints in New Orleans. Not much relevance to this game in terms of what we got from maybe a Kirk Cousins return to this game. Falcons 1.5-point favorite on the road. I don't have much thoughts about this game other than I kind of did like what Tyler Shuck did before the bye week and beating the Carolina Panthers, doing enough to win football games. You know, I'll pick the Falcons to win this game. It's going to be tight. It's going to be, you know, no relevance to this game, but it'll be close down the stretch.
You already know what I said Tuesday about Kirk Cousins.
Go ahead.
I can't say it with a straight face this time. But, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't what he once was. I will admit that. But I still think it'll be a close game. Won't be high scoring, but it'll be close. But honestly, I think give it to the Saints.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Falcons just have a better team overall, but they're very similar teams. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Falcons will take it by a field goal.
All right, and Sunday Night Football in L.A., the Bucs and the Rams. We'll break it down tomorrow more. But in terms of picking this game, the Rams are 7-point favorites on the weekend here against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's been leaking as far as the defense is concerned. I get concerned about their ability to slow some dynamic offenses down, and the Rams continue to show how efficient they can be in terms of their scoring ability. And the Rams, I have been saying, have been the best NFC team in this side of the conference. I will not back down from that statement. I think they beat Baker and them boys, and it's going to be a fantastic game on Sunday Night Football between those two dynamic offenses. But give me Stafford and the Rams to continue to roll.
You know, Stafford's been lights out since the season started, and I don't think anything changes this Sunday. You know, this Bucs team is desperate. You know, they're losing now. I think they're going to want to do anything they can to stop this Rams team, but overall I think Stafford has got it, and he's gonna continue to solidify his MVP case. Give me the Rams.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Buccaneers here. I think the Buccaneers are coming back from something that, you know, the Bills did put a better number on them, but I feel like they're taking a little time off, but this is gonna be a statement win for the Buccaneers. It's not gonna be easy. It's gonna be close, but yeah, the Buccaneers.
All right, and that is your Benatti Blitz, which I failed to mention, brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Stop by for your Thanksgiving holiday needs, for your tailgating opportunities. I'm sure some football to be watched on those holidays. And so Grocery Outlet, the perfect place to get geared up and loaded up for your holiday food shopping. Benatti Blitz, brought to you by them. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. We wrap up the show next. Talk about Bills, Texans, lead you up into that game in Houston. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along here on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up our show here at Fashion Furniture. Reminder tonight, Thursday Night Football, Bills and Texans coming up at 5 p.m. right after us from Houston. Tonight on 790, hey, those Sharks, man, they continue to play great hockey. Did you see that Mecklen Celebrini hat trick 2 days ago? 3 goals, 1 in overtime. And he did it all himself, 3-2 over Utah on Tuesday. He is the truth.
You know, Phil, I might have to get into hockey now because of this.
Well, they play the Kings tonight, and the Kings are a team that has been a kind of a perennial contender out of their division. Sharks are only four points back of the Kings tonight. They get a win, they'd be two points back if they get a win in regulation.
So how do their points go? A win is two?
Win is two, an overtime loss is one. Regulation loss, nada.
Okay.
Zip.
Okay.
Mecklen Celebrini, 30 points as a teenager in his first 20 games in a single season, only shy of Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby. You ever heard of him?
I've heard of Gretzky.
So those are some names to be talked about in terms of that.
You know, Phil, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
So do you dominate the taco? Or do you let the taco dominate?
We're not doing this. You cannot let the taco spill. You cannot let the taco. I don't care. There's nothing. Whatever manly, dominant, whatever kind of thing you need to go after that, I'm not doing that. I am going to eat the taco because I want all the stuff in the taco. I'm not going to have the taco tip because I feel like I'm less of a man. I'm sure you feel the same way, Jorge.
Yeah, I don't understand what the deal is. Just eat this freaking taco and just be done with it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not letting the content spill. If you're eating a taco and I see some stuff falling out, I'm considering you a slop. That's where I'm at. So
unless it's like a really filled up taco that you're like, oh, you know,
and super taco.
It's like spilling from the bag, but like, yeah, you know. But other than that. You need to just eat the taco and that's it.
Just eat the taco. If I see someone holding a taco completely sideways and just eating it like a sandwich and I see stuff spilling out of it, I'm considering you mentally challenged. That's where I'm at. I'm considering you that. All right. Daily Spread brought to you by Chicchancy Gold Resort Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck with Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino today. Bills Texans tonight. Josh Allen is starting tonight, of course, for this Buffalo Bills team as they are 5.5-point underdogs, or excuse me, favorites tonight against Houston. Josh Allen, 1-3 career record against Houston, including the playoffs. These are one of the three teams he has a losing record against alongside the Eagles and the Bengals. And if you do recall, a Week 5 loss to Houston last year, Josh Allen threw a career-low 30% completion percentage for 131 yards in what was one of the most head-scratching games I'd ever seen from this Buffalo Bills squad, which they've had a few this year, and what's to say it could stop again. Tonight I would go with the Houston Texans, and I'm going to lay the line on there. I'm thinking Houston will win outright tonight. That pass offensive defense is dynamic and could be a problem for Josh Allen and this Bills team, who I think is still a little bit flawed. Daniel, what do you got tonight, Bills and Texans?
I'm a bit iffy on this game, like, because I know I said Tuesday. I'm like, it all depends on the version of Josh Allen you get, because sometimes you get, like, MVP Josh Allen, and other times you get rookie year Josh Allen, and it's like, it amazes me how he hasn't gotten rid of that rookie year persona yet, but I think you get MVP Josh Allen tonight. I think Bills take it. I mean, I think that's the version they're going to get tonight. So give me the Bills. Bye.
Tough defense to go against that, but it's going to be fascinating.
I said give me the Bills by 4.5.
4.5. Jorge, what do you got tonight, Bills or Texans?
They just have a tough defense, man. They have a tough defense, and I don't know. Every time I see the Bills down there in Texas or just playing them, and they struggle. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with Texans today, just because. And you know how much I love Josh Allen, but I just feel like the Texans just have their number today.
Couple other trends before we go. Josh Allen, one rushing touchdown away from being the most career rushing touchdowns for a quarterback, passing Cam Newton tonight if he gets it.
You tell me Lamar doesn't have that?
Nope. Josh Allen, 8-0 in Thursday Night Football in his career. Lamar doesn't do the sneaks as Josh Allen does plenty of times. So, all right, that's it for our show. Good job, guys, today. 2 hours of good dynamic football talk and all that great stuff. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Until then, Bills-Texans next Thursday Night Football on 1430 ESPN.